This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Michael Strickland. Students at Charlottesville High School represent a uniquely mixed group of individuals. The number of students who identify themselves as African American is about equal to those who identify as white. So why is it that when walking into any given classroom in a school like CHS, you're likely to find either mostly white or mostly black students? It's a result of what educators call tracking. That is, dividing students up into classes based on ability level. In many communities, this means that the lower-level classes become comprised mostly of lower-income minority groups, while higher-level or honors programs receive the bulk of the white middle class. The theory is that a one-size-fits-all style of teaching works better when students are with others that supposedly think and perform alike. That the teacher cannot do what's best for one group of students when he or she has to worry about another group whose needs are entirely different from the first. But there are some educators who want to change this approach. According to them, by understanding how students learn differently, they can all be taught in the same classroom without separating the so-called good students from the bad.
I think it's been the case probably since forever in schoolrooms that teachers have recognized student differences. Dealing with those differences is tricky sometimes, and so we have sometimes just tried ignoring the differences and teaching to the middle. Almost every time we find we're losing students.
That was Carol Ann Tomlinson, a professor of educational psychology at the University of Virginia's Curry School of Education, and author of more than a dozen books for educators about teaching to students of all ability levels. She travels to schools and conferences around the world, speaking to teachers about more effective ways to educate. Tomlinson says the way most schools deal with academic diversity is by putting the typical students in one room, the strugglers in another, and the advanced in their own set of classes. The idea is that this way, the curriculum doesn't have to be dumbed down for any student.
We have some evidence that if students were in more heterogeneous groupings, students of more kinds together, it's possible for the teachers to keep the high expectations for the students who are advanced and to provide a higher quality of curriculum and expectations for other students. So we sort of are left with three ways to think about dealing with students' differences: ignoring them, separating them, or keeping them together and dealing with the differences. And differentiation is really dealing with those differences.
That right there is the buzzword in education these days. Differentiation, and it's a big part of what educational reformers are trying to accomplish.
Sort of a motivating factor with differentiation is to try to decrease the segmentation among students, and really to come to grips with teachers, as teachers and as students, with the notion that human differences are normal, and that in many ways they are enriching, and that we ought to be able to deal with those in a positive way.
That's what Charlottesville High School history teacher Chad Prather hopes to achieve next year. He'll be experimenting with a ninth grade world history class that will be D-tracked. That is, all types of students will be learning together.
In a typical classroom without differentiation, you have sort of a one-size-fits-all curriculum, one-size-fits-all instruction, and usually it's the middle ground that's targeted. So you're going to have kids at the top end of the spectrum that are bored out of their mind, doing work that is way too easy. And you're going to have kids that really struggle who are finding the work is way too hard.
Rising ninth graders had to opt in for his class, which will bring together students who typically would have been separated into general advanced and honors classes. He hopes that some of the changes he's making to the curriculum will help all students learn more effectively in a diverse environment.
You're going to have a wider range of socioeconomic backgrounds, a wider range of racial backgrounds, a wider range of readiness levels and interests, which just makes for fresher discussions, more perspective coming in. There's a whole class component to the lesson, and there's a differentiated component to the lesson. The whole class components to the lesson largely deal with sort of discussions. And so if we're doing a lesson on feudalism or chivalry, for example, we might start by having a whole class discussion on honor or just characteristics of chivalry, and we might have a discussion about chivalry in the modern world. Is it dead? And everyone can talk about that, whether they know anything about feudalism or not. Everyone has some sort of understanding in their head of honor or how to treat others. And that's a discussion that anyone, regardless of their readiness level, learning style, can discuss.
In addition to this type of discussion, Prather will also be using differentiated lessons in which students can learn in different ways and at different levels from one another.
If a student is reading on a 12th grade level in the 9th grade, does that student no good to be given materials written on a 9th grade level? If a student is reading on a 6th grade level, does that student no good to be given materials written on a 9th grade level? So taking into account the interests, the learning styles, whether a student's a visual learner, auditory learner, taking into account the readiness level, how much prior knowledge a student has of the subject, students will be given different ways to access and process new information.
More than 100 rising 9th graders have signed up for the differentiated course, which will give Prather many different kinds of students to test his curriculum on.
It's the same finish line for every student. The understanding that every student will arrive at will be the same, but there are different routes by which students will take to get to that understanding.
But not all parents or even teachers are happy with this new direction education is going in. Right across the hall from Chad Prather's classroom, I found a teacher who's resisting the tendency of schools to move toward detracking and differentiation. Rick Wellbeloved Stone is an environmental science teacher at CHS who doesn't think we should get rid of tracking in public schools.
I think in high school, tracks are essential because not everybody is created equal in terms of ability. And so if you have people who are, you know, IQ of 150, they need to be in a class that is challenging them at the IQ of 150 versus a student who's got an IQ of 85. They need a different pace. And I don't believe that we can really make everybody, accommodate everybody in the same classroom as much as we may try to.
Well-beloved Stone's two children are current students at CHS. He's been opposed to detracking since the school's administration began talking about it and doesn't think it will do anything to close the achievement gap.
For instance, I have a student who's in a general level earth science class who has no business being in the general level earth science class. But she has come to me now with a deficiency in basic skills, reading skills and the like. And so as a result, she's been placed, I guess, in general classes everywhere. And if somebody had seen early on and really encouraged and pushed this girl when she was a third grader, then she may very well have been put in the upper level classes. But at this point in time, I think in high school, we have to be honest. When we're doing college prep, we need to be pushing those kids who are college prep. Not everybody in this building should be college prep because it's disingenuous of us to say everybody that walks in this building is bound for college. It's a flat-out lie. We have people coming here with an IQ of 85, and that's nothing against them. That's their IQ. People are born with the genetics they have, and we ought to address the genetics they have and give them what they can do.
This opposition has come from all sides. Teachers, parents, even students who have heard of what may be in store for them in the future. And in the so-called conservative era in which Americans live today, this resistance comes out of the most pressing fear of them all, the fear of change. Carol Ann Tomlinson has an explanation.
You find teachers who really are very passionate that we live in a world where people need to come closer together and not be segmented, and that detracking is a way to represent in the classroom an increasingly diverse world where folks need to learn to understand and appreciate each other and work together. And for those teachers, the notion of detracking is really a mission, and it's something that they feel that they can contribute beyond just content. There are other folks who don't believe it will work or are concerned about extra work that might come in the beginning. I think it's very hard when you're a teacher and you've been a successful teacher for somebody to suggest that you might want to change a lot about what you're doing. Not only does that sound like maybe you weren't quite as successful as you thought, but it's kind of scary to change in midstream and think about that. And so for most of us, that kind of change, regardless of whether it's at, you know, detracking or another area, is something that we don't necessarily cotton to.
Although the majority of education professionals are endorsing this new philosophy, many parents are meeting this educational reformation with opposition. Prather thinks he knows why.
Parents are cautious, and rightfully so. If this is not done right, it fails. If you hand this sort of program to someone who has never attempted to differentiate in the classes, you're just dooming it from the start.
Prather suggests that parents would be less worried about differentiated instruction in elementary or middle schools, where the pressures of getting accepted into college aren't as imminent.
If the lower school messes up, you still go to the middle school. If the middle school messes up, you still go to the high school. But if the high school messes up and doesn't do the kid right, then where do you go from here? So I completely understand the caution and frustration, but we really believe we're going to have a model for success with this.
When asked if education reformers were bothered by parents who slow down the process by questioning its effectiveness, Tomlinson adds that parents so invested in their child's success are a blessing to any process of change, even if they do work against her goals at times.
Their job is to look at a school and say, what are you going to do for my student? And I don't think that's inappropriate. I wish every student had a parent who was a good advocate for them. On the other hand, I think it's important for the community to remember that it's the job of school to advocate for all students, not just for one student or for one kind of student. That does not mean to me that it's okay to sacrifice Group B for Group A, but neither is it okay to sacrifice Group A for Group B. And I think our difficulty is, our challenge really is, to figure out how we create schools in which we do the best for everybody.
Well-beloved Stone thinks that creating such a school is more complicated than it seems. To him, detracking is simply another fad that educators will eventually abandon.
We're going to go to this detracking, and then we'll go away from it. We'll look at the long-term picture, and it swings back and forth, back and forth. Obviously, if we had figured out how to close the achievement gap, we'd have done so long ago. And it's foolish of anybody to think that this is the panacea that will all of a sudden remove all of society's ills, and everybody will achieve, and everybody will live in harmony. We're fooling ourselves. It's just another trend of us trying to address a societal problem. I think after about 10 years of swinging that one way, the parents of the high-achieving kids who are not being challenged are going to push it to swing the other way. And it's just going to continue swinging back and forth. Education has this incredible swinging pendulum in everything, and so this is just one of them.
As well-beloved Stone shows, while most teachers agree that a fundamental change in the educational system is needed, it's hard to agree on one method that pleases everyone.
I think we have a pretty clear sense that putting a wide range of students in a classroom and ignoring their differences is not the best way to work for everybody. We seem to have quite a number of years of research evidence on tracking to suggest that that's not the best way to make things really work for everybody. And so the concept of differentiation, which in many ways has been around for centuries, is another way to look at that and to actively try to ensure that we have what we consider to be very high quality curriculum available to all of our students with a support system to help more kids succeed. And that's really the goal.
Change has to come on a school-by-school basis. And Chad Prather's differentiated world history class is only the first step at Charlottesville High School. The future of detracking at CHS will largely depend on the success of his curriculum in the coming year. But Prather's not one to worry. Like any educator, whether they're for detracking or not, his goal is to do what he thinks is best for his students. And that's what he'll continue to do, be it in a detract or tracked classroom. For the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Michael Strickland.